Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. I just thank God for this time, for us being here. I'm excited to bring the word. Thank you, Carl and Diana and the fam, for coming and showing up. Amen. We're going to get started today. We'll go ahead and open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for this time, dear God, that you've allowed us to be here. Dear God, I pray, dear God, that today through your word, dear God, that you would allow us to grow. Dear God, that we would become the men and women of God that you've called us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Today, as everybody knows, the school year just started, right? So I'm not a morning person. Can I just say that before I get started? I'm not a morning person. I never was a morning person until my dad, like, threatened me to get up to go to school. You know, like, Michael, you remember those days? Like, if my mom came in there, I knew I had a little bit of time to stay in the bed. But if my dad was like, get up, boy, you know, like, it was a certain way that he had to say it, I knew I had to get up. So I find myself doing the same thing to my kids today. It's kind of funny how history repeats itself. But with getting up early, it's allowed me to do something that I needed to do, and that's get up and be able to pray, to have a solid prayer time. You know, because I could lay in the bed till like 10, 11 o'clock and feel good, right? Everybody likes that. So as I get ready for this message, I just wanted to say this. Jesus said this to the disciples, just 1 hour. Somebody say, just 1 hour. You guys remember what I'm talking about when he talked to his disciple and was like, can't you just pray just 1 hour? If you don't, we're going to find out about it. Amen. So we're talking about prayer. I believe that prayer is definitely important to our walk with God, and I'm gonna be on a prayer series. They're not gonna all have the same name, but it's gonna be about really getting to know God in prayer and see how prayer really works. Amen. Amen. You guys excited about this? Amen. I'm excited. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. This is a quick, easy verse. It says, pray without ceasing. All right, somebody say, pray without ceasing. Now, if you said that, you just memorized that whole verse. That's an easy one to remember. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and I don't know why it showed up like that, but pray without ceasing. Now, it's easy sometimes to do that and feel like, oh, I don't have to have a set time to pray because I got to pray without ceasing, right? And I've been that person where it's like, hey, man, I don't got to get up and pray for just a straight hour. I could just pray throughout the day. You know, I get in my car, I pray. So I don't kill my kids, I pray. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go through all these times and it's like, okay, I pray. And that's great. But how many know that a consistent prayer time is also important? Amen? So this is what we're talking about. Somebody say, just 1 hour. I'm going to go to Matthew 26:36-46. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. We're going to start there. And this is when the disciples and Jesus had just had the Passover, right? The Last Supper, as we call it. And after Jesus had already said there was going to be people that are going to betray him, and after that, after all that whole thing happened with Judas left. Now Jesus goes away to go pray. But he brings his disciples with him, right? So let's go ahead and when you got it, you can say amen. Let me get it. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. And it says this. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Now listen, some of us don't get this about Jesus, and I like how Jesus went through the same things we went through. Some of us are distressed right now. What does that mean? See, some people might think this means not stress, but no, that means super stress, right? Distress, because, you know, sometimes this is a, it sets it off. But Jesus was sorrowful and deeply distressed. These are some times where you know that you need to go pray. You guys see what I'm saying? When you feel like, man, I can't make it, I don't know what to do, God is trying to get your attention so you can go pray. And it happened to Jesus, so it's going to happen to you. Amen? It says, then he said to them, my soul, and Jesus even told them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. So he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, lest you enter into temptation. I'm sorry. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now we see Jesus, he has something that he wants to do. You guys see that? In that scripture, Jesus has something that he wants to do. He wants to do, he's like, yo, I know, God, we had plans. You know what I'm saying? We had plan A was for me to go throughout this life, stay on the right course, go and die. But he's like, yo, I'm not really feeling that right now. You know, Jesus pretty much knew what was going to happen. But at this point, he wasn't really feeling that plan. But he said, not my will, but your will, God. See, sometimes we go to God with plans and we're like, God, man, this is what I'm trying to do. Man, if we can, my business could just do this, God, that'd be great. But do we ever pray, God, not my will, your will? For my business, not my will, your will. You know what I'm saying? Instead of saying that, God, I want it just like this. Instead of allowing God to be God, sometimes we try to tell God what to do. Right? And that's the wrong way to pray. But Jesus, he had something that he wanted to do, but he still said, not my will, but your will. Verse 40 says, then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41 says, watch and pray, lest you enter into, what does that word say? Temptation. Now, I know this is a whole nother series, but last week, remember, we talked about temptation, how to deal with temptation. Jesus right here gives you a clear way to fight temptation by watching and praying. Now, he wasn't talking about watching TV, right? When he say watch and pray, he's not like, hey, if your favorite TV show's on, watch that and pray at the same time. When he's saying he's watch out for what's going on. Look and make sure you're doing what you need to do. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And then he said this, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Some people, when you think about what that is saying, everybody wants to do, they want to do the right thing in some way, form, or fashion, right? Most of us, well, most of the people that come to church, they want to do the right thing. But it says the spirit is willing. That means they're like, yeah, come on, I'll do it. I'm down. But the flesh is weak. That means, yeah, I told them I was down, but man, this is going on today. I done worked all day. I'm so tired. I know God understands my heart. You know, like we come up with these things because our flesh is weak. But in order for our flesh to continually, and that's actually a good thing when you're, in this scripture, I think when they say flesh is weak, that's not a good thing. So I'm sorry about that. But when we look at how the flesh is weak in this sense, we want the spirit to continually be stronger than our flesh. Amen. But when it says it's weak, that's saying it's suspect to following. We're suspect to following that flesh. And we have to be following the spirit. Amen. You guys see how I broke that down? So watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It says in verse 42, and again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Anybody ever prayed? And man, it's hard to stay awake. I know, like, sometimes, like, it could be in the middle of the night. I start praying, and early morning prayers, I start praying, and I might go right back to sleep. So what I'm saying is you have to find a time where it's going to be convenient. But also, you got to make sure you're active when you're praying. They were just laying down. Sometimes the worst thing to do is to lay down and pray, right? You got your pillow. You just laying on the bed. It don't matter how you lay. I'm a person that only can sleep in like one position. But if I'm praying, I can sleep anyway, right? It's crazy. It's like because the enemy doesn't want you to pray. And that's the time where the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You guys see that? But they kept falling asleep. So he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." All right, so we know what happens after this. Judas comes and kisses him on the cheek. It's like, yo, when I kiss that guy, that's the guy, that's him. And they already knew who he was. That's kind of weird how, but I think it was dark, so he had to have some kind of code or some plan. So he kissed Jesus. They try to take Jesus, and Peter slices his ear off of one of the dudes. You guys remember that, right? I mean, it was like Mortal Kombat. Peter was like, yo, I'm ready to, you can't touch my guy. And, you know, most of us, we probably would have done the same thing. You guys understand what I'm saying? Why? Because that was our God. When Peter did these things, a lot of us make fun of Peter, but Peter was defending the Messiah, which was not a bad thing, but he was defending him in the wrong sense. Now, Peter was one of the people that it in that passage that I read, that it pointed out. It said, "Peter, come up here and pray with me for a little bit." But Peter didn't pray. He was sleeping. So what did Peter fall into? To temptation. He fell into being led by his flesh instead of praying. You guys see what I'm saying? Because we see this actually happen right after that. He's like, man, if you were to pray, Jesus kind of warns them about everything that happens. Even that same day, Jesus told Peter that he was going to betray him. So you got Peter thinking like, I am not going to betray this cat the whole time while he's supposed to be praying, man, I ain't going to betray Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing that. Man, I'm riding for Jesus. So then when this guy comes, it's like, man, he was ready with the sword. You guys see what I'm saying? Like, because in his mind, he heard Jesus say he's going to betray him. But he was like, I'm not going to do that. But then after that, after he was taken, what did Peter begin to do? He betrayed Jesus. Amen? So I'm going to say this. Being in prayer allows us to be in connection with God. It allows us to be in connection not only with God, but his plan. See, some of us, we could say we're in connection with God, but we want to run this play our way. Like, I'm connected with God, but God, let me run this play. I think it'll work. You know, I love football. And sometimes if everybody is not on the same team and one guy just wants to run the play that way and everybody else wants to run it this way, that play is not going to work. Right? So in order to be in the plan of God, we have to know what the play is. Like when you're playing football, there's a specific, they say, man, I don't even know the plays now. I can't remember. But they got halfback dive. That's an easy play. What that is the quarterback hikes it, hands it to the running back, and he runs straight up the middle, right? But if I don't know what a halfback dive means when I get in the game, and I'm like, halfback dive. Right, okay, the halfback gonna dive, right? Like, if you don't know what's going on, you're gonna mess the play up. But that's what we do when we're not in connection with God. When we're not in prayer with God, God is giving you a play. A lot of us want to know the mission that God has put on our life. He's already gave us that mission. Now it's just getting in connection so we know our piece to that mission. Our mission, number one, is to lead people to who Jesus is in all that we do. Everything that we do is to let people know who our God is. Amen? Now, you can do that in many forms and many fashions, but you have to do it the way that God wanted you to do it. So being in prayer allows us to be connected with God. Amen. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 22, verse 42. And this is actually the same prayer, but there's something in here that I liked how they broke it down. Luke 22, verse 42 and 43. This is something that happens when you pray. You're good. You don't got to close it. It says this. Let me actually start at verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but what did he say? Your will be done. Then listen to what happens. After Jesus prays, it says, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. You guys see that? This is the power of prayer. Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. Like even after the temptation, you guys remember that? It said, then angels came and strengthened him. Jesus was the prototype for us, which means that he was the example. So when Jesus prayed and an angel came and strengthened him, guess what's going to happen when we pray? We're going to be strengthened. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be strengthened and empowered in our spirit to be able to do what God has called us to do. You guys got what I'm saying? So when you want to know the mission, you have to be in prayer, because you're not going to be able to do your mission or the call that God has on your life without being connected with God. You can. I preached on this one time. You can do a whole bunch of things for God and miss what God wants you to do. You see what I'm saying? Like, hey, God, let's say my mom was here and she was like, I want you to do one thing. I want you to clean your room. And she said that a lot when I was growing up. And she probably still saying it to me now. But anyway, if I'm like, man, I'm about to go to the store, get her favorite ice cream. You know, like, I'm going to go get her a guitar. I'm going to make her happy. I'm going to go buy her a car. If I didn't do what she wanted me to do, she might be like, oh, that was cool, but that's not what I wanted. And that's what we do to God. We run around and God just said, tell this person about Jesus. Oh, man, I'm going to feed the homeless. I'm going to go here. I'm going to make sure God is so happy with me. I'm going to sing in the praise and worship team. I'm going to do all these things. But all God asked you to do was tell that person about God. So what happens is you miss what God wanted because you were not in prayer and you didn't hear him. Or you just wanted to do your own thing, which is part. It's kind of the same thing. When you want to do your own thing, you're really not hearing God. Amen. So know that God will strengthen us when we pray. And I don't know if anybody has ever felt that before. Like you prayed and you felt God like empower you to be strong. Don't worry about that little bug. He ain't worried about you. But have you ever prayed and you felt like, man, after that, I was excited. Man, God encouraged me so I can go do what I needed to do, right? That's a powerful thing. And my wife needs to pray right now so she has strength to kill that little fly because she is scared of that. I talked about a few weeks ago, actually, about a month ago. You guys remember in the message that I was preaching on deliverance, Abraham interceded for his nephew who? Lot. And when he interceded for his nephew Lot, he was actually really talking to God face to face. God came and visited Abraham, and this was in the beginning. And when he visited Abraham, God said, should I tell Abraham what's going on? And he told him, right? And I'm not going to read the story. So he was like, man, your nephew Lot is in the area, Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm about to go destroy it. I'm about to demolish it. And Abraham was like, hold up, man, my nephew's over there. So would you destroy it if there's, you know, he start with 50, you know. Would you still destroy it? 10? He get down to 10, right? And by asking that, he's like, God, for the 10 righteous, can you please spare the city? If there's 10, spare the city. So what is he doing there? He's interceding. And that's what we have to do. Interceding It's part of prayer. Now, we're talking about just 1 hour. When you're praying, sometimes it's hard to understand why you're praying or how to pray. So today we're going to talk about interceding. I learned this from my mom. You could get a list and just be praying for almost an hour, probably a little more sometimes. So it's good when prayers are answered because you can be like, thank you, Lord. All right, cut that one off, right? But interceding is an important part of being a believer. Our job, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, not this week, but next time I'm up here preaching about prayer. Interceding is so important that, I mean, when you look at Jesus, when he was telling the disciples what to pray for, many times he said, pray that God would save them. Even pray for the laborers that they would bring in the harvest, right? Jesus was intentional about interceding, so we must be as well. I'm going to go to a story in Job. I like how it starts off in Job chapter 1. We're going to see how he interceded for his children. Amen. And when you got it, you say word. All right. Job chapter 1. It's in the middle of the Bible if you got a physical Bible. She's going to close it now, huh? It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that was blameless and upright. I'm sorry, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and what? Shunned evil. Somebody say shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. He had 10 kids. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Okay, you guys see what's going on right here. This dude is balling. He was the greatest in the East. You said, can he say that in church? Balling? Yeah, he was balling. His donkeys were fly, right? His oxen were the best. I mean, he had everything he needed. He had sheep and everything. But let's look what it says. Verse 4 says, and his sons would go and feast in their houses each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Now, this is a different way of interceding, obviously. Nobody needs to go kill some calves and everything like that. But we see what Job was doing. He was covering his kids. He was interceding for his kids. He was like, God, just in case, like, I don't even know if they did anything wrong, but just in case they did something wrong, I'm gonna offer this burnt sacrifice. And it said, not only did he do it once, it says at the very end that he did it regularly. So what I'm trying to get here is we have to regularly intercede for others. Amen. Especially those that we know that are wilding. You know, sometimes we'll talk about them, and what wilding means is acting up. When there's people that are acting up all the time, our job should not be to, oh, did you hear what blah, blah, blah did? The first thing you should do is say, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray. That should be the first thing. Because then you're setting the standard. Every time something bad happens, you don't be like, wow, that was bad. We pray. I know the whole situation that happened with the football player Ray Rice and his wife, and everybody's just like, oh, he's a bad guy. He's this, he's that. We should, as a church, we should be praying that God touches his life. Of course he did wrong. We've all done wrong. When we do wrong, we should not cast stones at those people that did wrong, right? I mean, the media loves that. They'll find the ugliest picture, the meanest picture, and be like, this guy did this. And everybody's like, yeah, on Twitter, it's trending, right? That means it's the hot topic. Everybody talking about it. Facebook is doing it. Everybody's talking about it. But nobody's praying about it. And we have to pray that God would use these things to grab these people's attention, especially something that happened like that. This man went from balling, literally playing football, to now he has no job. And his contract is gone. And he's married to the lady, which his name is, her name is Janae. And now everybody's talking about how he's, you know what I'm saying, like they're bringing up old. It's a good thing people don't bring up old stuff on us. Right? All the stuff we done wrong. If they had that on video, it could be bad. Right? It could be bad. They had been going through counseling and doing all this. And, you know, I don't really want to take sides in this thing. But our side should be, God, get the glory out of this. No matter how bad it looks for them, no matter how bad it looks, even if he doesn't play in the NFL again, God, get the glory out of this. So that he could teach somebody that may be going through the same thing. Amen? So our job should be to intercede. When we begin to intercede, God can move on our behalf. The Bible says he listens and he is attentive to the prayers of the righteous. Amen? Amen. There's a lot of those flies in here tonight. I see why y'all closed the door. So somebody say, my job is to intercede. With just 1 hour, we're talking about just 1 hour in prayer. Part of that prayer time could be just to intercede. And some of us, we can break this down into 10 minutes just so it's easier, because I know 10 minutes is not that long. But when you're praying, it feels like it's super long. But if you say, okay, for 10 minutes, I'm going to intercede. For 10 minutes, I'm going to worship. For 10 minutes, I'm going to pray for me that I can be who God wants me to be. For 10 minutes, I'm going to pray in tongues. And some people's like, oh, tongues. Yeah, that's part of prayer. And then also 10 minutes, I'm just going to listen to God. Like when you break it down like this, an hour is not that difficult. While I was getting this message, you know, I've heard pastors that say, man, I pray for 5 hours a day. You know, and it's like they almost bragging about it. It's like, okay, awesome. If you got 5 hours to pray, that's great. Everybody don't have 5 hours to just sit and pray. That's hard. There might be times in your life where you got to pray all night because you need God, right? I've done that before, and God has came through. But that's not all, every night. I'm not up every night just praying all night. And, I mean, even when we look at Jesus, that wasn't what he did every night. Every night it doesn't say in the Bible. And after he went here, he went to pray all night. The time that he prayed all night, it was the time where he was walking on water. You guys know that story? The reason why he was walking on water, because he was up praying. People didn't know that. He left the people and went to go pray. But we have to intercede. Let's get it in just a one. Somebody say, just 1 hour. Let's go to Joshua chapter 10, verse 1 through 5, or 1 through 15. One of my favorite people in the Bible for me are the warriors. I love warriors in the Bible. When we were growing up, we watched the Bible stories. I didn't want to see the soft guys, quote unquote, in the Bible, right? I wanted to see the Davids kill Goliaths. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to see how Daniel was in the lion's den. Like, I wanted to see these tough guys. Right? Because that's what, even in life, when you watch football, your favorite players are the tough guys. Man, did you see that hit? Like, man, Carl, I know you watch football. When somebody gets lit up, we just be like, whoa! And we rewinding it if we can, you know what I'm saying? We taking a picture of it and, you know, doing all kinds of stuff because we love that kind of stuff. So even in the Bible, I love hearing stories about warriors. Joshua was a brave warrior. Amen? So let's look at what happened in this situation. Joshua chapter 10. I'm just going to read it. It says, now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it as he had done to Jericho and its king. So he had done to Ai and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. And then it says in verse 2 that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, man, I love these names, Japhia, king of Lachish, and Debar, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me and help me, that we may attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, and the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up. They and all their armies encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at their camp at Gilgal, saying, do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly, save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. It's interesting because Gilgal, that's where Jesus was hung on the cross. So it's pretty dope how we see how these things tie together. Anyway, it says, and the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Okay? So Joshua had to be in prayer to hear from God at this time. A lot, when we talk about prayer, like I just said earlier, prayer is hearing from God. If you talk, and you never hear from God, you're not really praying. You're just making a grocery list. You see what I'm saying? That grocery list is not going to be taken care of until you understand what God is trying to say to you. Okay? What verse am I at? Verse 9. Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with the great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekai and Meda and Machadiah. Good Lord. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekai, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Do you guys see what's going on? God told Joshua to go to war against all of these kings. There was like, how many kings did it say? Five kings and their armies. It's all right. There was five kings and their armies. And there was just two kings. So we see that God not only told Joshua, hey, I'm going to deliver them all into your hand. Not a man is going to stand. You guys remember that? He said that. But since Joshua stepped out, we see what God does. He's doing even more than what he's doing. You guys see that? Joshua, it said Joshua only killed, he didn't kill as many people that the hailstones killed. Now, none of us have seen hailstones really in our life that are just killing a mass amount of people. But God allowed it to happen this day. Amen? It said in verse 12, then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, he's praying right here. He says, son, and he's not talking to his kid. He's talking to the S-U-N. Son, stand still over Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ajon. And then it said, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. You guys see that? And not only is it only in the Bible, it tells you another book that it's in. It says, is this not written in the book of Jashar? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. You guys seeing this right here? This is pretty dope. And this is not, I look at the Bible and this is not just a great kid's story. This really happened. This really happened. The sun stood still for a whole day, and there had been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp of Gilgal, and they probably relaxed, rested. Their enemies was taken care of, right? So they got their feet up. They was in their plush chairs and all that. But what we see, it said right there, it said, God listened to the voice of a man. That's the power of prayer. You're in connection with God. Not only are you in connection with God, God tells you what to do, so now you're moving in what God told you to do. So now when you ask God, I need your help in this situation, what is God going to do? He's going to answer your prayer. See, if we're not in connection with God, if we're not moving exactly where he wants us to be, and then we ask God, hey, God, it would be nice if I have a new car because I just want a new car. He's not going to answer that. Some people are like, what? God's not going to answer that new car prayer? No, not if you're not doing what he calls you to do. Now, if you're going about what you need to do and you're going and God told you to travel to go share the gospel in different places and your car breaks down and you say, God, I need another car. I can't deal with this. God, can you help me? God will answer that prayer because you're moving in the direction that he wants you to move. Amen. So we see that being in connection with God, if we just spending that 1 hour in prayer with God continually, we're connected with God. Not only is it a great thing to be in connection with God, it allows you to hear the voice of God a lot clearer. There's times in my life when I know I'm praying consistently and I feel, man, like, okay, I can hear God. I'm walking down the street. Okay, man, God just told me something. Cool. Why? Because I'm connected. But when you're not connecting, when you're not spending time with prayer, it's like, God, I don't know what should I do right now. And you sit there and it's like, you don't hear nothing, right? Because you're not connected. You're not connected. Your phone is disconnected. You need to get the connection back to God so that you can hear from God. Amen. God will meet your needs as long as you're in tune with God. I got a couple more scriptures, and we're going to wrap this up. Let's go to James chapter 5, right? James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18. And this is actually, it's pretty interesting because James is the brother of Jesus, and he's just letting people know how you should pray. It says, is anyone among you suffering? I know so a lot of us are suffering sometimes. Let him or her pray. All right, you guys got that? It's real simple. If you feel like you're suffering, pray. It says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him or her, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, listen, see, I'm not telling people not to go to the doctor because that's bogus, right? God anointed a doctor to be a doctor. He gave him that gift. Actually, there's a great testimony that you guys are here at your church about a doctor. But this is what I will say. A lot of times we don't ask for prayer when we're sick. We're not going to the elders and say, hey, man, can you pray for me? I got a cold. Like I did today, I was like, you know, this message was fresh in my head, and I've been dealing with a little head cold. So I asked my wife, who's an elder, even though she don't like that. She's not that old, but she's an elder, right? I said, babe, pray for me. And when she prayed for me, I felt a little bit better as soon as she prayed. But the Bible commands us, when you're sick, to have the elders pray for you. Amen? And then it says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. You guys see what's going on here. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. It says, confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means it's going to work. Amen. Elijah was a man of nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. See, this is something right here, too. Earnest prayer. What does earnest prayer mean? Continual, without doubting. Somebody look up the word earnest for me real quick. But earnest prayer is like, man, I'm not going to be stopped. I'm not going to be stopped. I'm praying for this, and I'm not going to let anything stop me, right? That's what earnest prayer is. It says he was a nation like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. All right? Now, I'm not telling you guys to leave, and I know it rains a lot in Washington. Don't go home and pray that it don't rain. You know what I'm saying? Rain has its purpose. But in that story that Elijah was in, the rain not, he was explaining to the people who God was. Amen? And then if you look into that whole story, he was even putting water on the altar that he was praying down for. And they were like, why are you wasting that? It's the heaven rained in a long time. We need that. But he showed them what his God was able to do. Amen? So, did you get that, Ernest? All right, a serious intent or proposal made. So basically, you're serious about this thing. When you are serious about prayer, that's what I love about my wife. She's serious when she prays. She doesn't care. Like, my wife is real quiet, but when she prays, she gets loud, right? She turns up, right? And it's exciting. And I'm just saying that because I know her. She's not the only one that prays like that. There's a lot of people that are quiet, but when they start praying, they pray. They go hard because they believe what they're praying about. Amen? We got to believe what we're praying about. Let's go to the last scripture before we close, the last two, and it's 1 Peter 3, verse 7. And we're just talking about just 1 hour. This is how we have to pray to our God, so that we are in connection with God and are doing what he needs us to do. 1 Peter chapter 3. This chapter deals a lot with husbands and wives. When I read this, I'm encouraging all of us to read through the whole Bible. If you haven't read through the whole Bible yet, start doing it. Why? Because you got to know what you believe. Amen. There's nothing worse than saying I'm a Christian and then somebody tells you, hey, have you ever heard that story in the Bible? And you're like, no, I haven't heard of that. It's like, man, you're supposed to know the Bible. Muslims know their book, right? They know their book. People that are in cults, they know their book. We got to know our Bible. Amen. It says this right here. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, and them is their wives, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Anybody get that? Anybody get that? I'm going to read it again. It says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. If you're not on the same page with your wife and your spouse, you guys are doing two different things, guess what? You're hindering your prayers. Now, a lot of people don't like that. This is talking to the husbands. It doesn't even say that to the wives. But husbands, we have to honor our wives. Understand, and sometimes it's hard to understand, right? But it says, dwell with them with understanding, and give them honor. You guys see that? We have to honor our wives. And it says, as being heirs together. What is heirs together? It's like a princess and a prince. You are heirs together in grace. You got to be together. You got to stay together. You got to, as the husband, it's your job to make sure that's happening so that your prayers are not being hindered. All right? You guys see that? It's important, man, because some of us, we're praying, and if we don't have it together in our household, prayer doesn't work. It talks about that even with ministers. If your household is not together, don't think you're going to be a great pastor. You got to get these things in order. Amen. What's the other verse in there? It says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. All right. These two scriptures are talking about whose prayers God will hear and whose prayers God will not hear. The reason why I put that in there for the husbands is, as husbands, it's our job to make sure our house is in order. I'm not telling you to go home and punk them, right? I'm not saying that. It says, it told you to understand that they're the weaker vessel, but honor them. Amen? And then it also talks about, if you're doing wrong, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. What is righteous? I always say this every time I preach. Righteous is being in right standing with God. All right? That doesn't mean that you're a perfect person. You might fall, but if you fall and you ask God for forgiveness and God help me do this thing right, you're back in right standing with God. Got it? This is not saying this is how you get saved, but it's just being in right standing with God. And it says, and he and his ears are open to their prayers. Then it says, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. What is evil? Evil is sin, and sin is not doing what God wants you to do. It's missing the point, missing the mark. If we want God to hear us, we got to make sure we're doing exactly what he wants us to be. We got to be in the right standing with God, and it starts with having a consistent prayer life. Amen? Somebody say, just 1 hour. I want to encourage you this week, spend time with God. Spend time with God. Spend time with God. Get this time. I mean, even with me, I have my kids. After I drop my oldest daughter off to school, I have a lot of time. Me and Carl be playing dominoes. But at a certain time, I don't play dominoes. I don't answer the phone. I'm just praying. And sometimes you can pray and do cleaning and all that kind of stuff at the same time. But just make sure you have that time with God. Amen. Amen. I just want to encourage you to do that. Let us go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you to God for this day. God, we pray to God that you would just move in our lives, oh God. Dear God, that you would allow us to be connected with you so that we can be all that you want us to be, oh Father. I pray, dear God, that our prayers would not be hindered, oh God, that we would live lives pleasing to you, dear God, being in right standing with you, oh God. Dear God, so that we can hear, dear God, what our mission is, dear God, and we can fulfill the purpose that you've given us, oh God. And God, we give you all the glory, honor, and the praise. I pray, dear God, that you would revitalize our prayer time. Dear God, as we pray, dear God, allow us to be strengthened, allow us to hear your voice, and allow us to be excited about spending time with you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Somebody say amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.